I think I'm counting five people in the balcony, all of which could serve on a basketball team. That's wonderful. Scripture today is printed on the back of your worship leaflet. We're going to be at Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." I like those upbeat, positive, happy verses. But you know, that's one good thing about the lectionary. Keeps preachers honest. We got to deal with the tough verses as well as the happy ones, so we'll give it a try. The largest wound that I ever experienced happened when I was under general anesthetic. And I didn't feel a thing when the doctor scalpeled into my left side to remove a kidney stone. And this happened in the days before ultrasound machines that can now pulverize kidney stones without even a scratch. Everything went well until a few days later when I stood in front of a mirror and looked at my wound for the first time. Those of you who have had that old-fashioned kidney stone surgery know what I'm talking about. I was amazed to see that that incision was around 14 inches long. Well, I started to feel woozy. Things went sort of blurry and gray, dark splotches came over my vision, and I broke out into a cold sweat. The next thing I remember was a shooting pain in my sitting section. You see, I fainted and I fell to the restroom floor right on my tailbone. And I was really, this was the worst part. I was really disappointed to learn that they would not give me any more pain medication. Not for my side, but for my sitter. Our verses today from Mark's gospel aren't talking about sitters, but about sin. Jesus tells us that it would be better for us to drown in the sea with a large stone tied around our neck than it would be to cause a young believer, a new believer, to sin. I think he in minds any fellow believer, has in mind any fellow believer for that matter. Now that is pretty drastic. But so are the next few verses referring to our own transgressions and the possible consequences. Here we have it. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to get into God's kingdom with one hand than to go to perdition with two. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Same reason. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It would be better to have one good eye in heaven than two broiled ones in the devil's domain. When I was a high school sophomore, our church youth group went to St. Louis on a work trip. On the last night, we stayed in a downtown hotel, and we had to walk about 5 blocks from the hotel down to the riverfront to see the Gateway Arch. On our little walk to the arch, we youth had to pass all kinds of shops, some fairly nice, others pretty seedy. And there were restaurants, taverns, gift shops, and one building that advertised girls, 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 and it was not a YWCA. Now, this particular business in St. Louis kept its door wide open with hopes, I suppose, of attracting customers, and the effect was not lost on us wide-eyed, wet-behind-the-ears teenagers from Iowa. Wendell, one of our adult counselors, was quick to notice. Probably remembering a Bible passage like ours today, he told us to cover our eyes as we went by that place, or we would go blind. One of my smart aleck friends made a big show of covering half his face, leaving the other half open, announcing, "I will risk one eye." Well, that's one way of treating our passage from Mark chapter 9 for we preachers to make a few glib comments and hope it will go away. God can't really want us to enter heaven looking like survivors of a chainsaw, or should we say a sin saw massacre. If we sin, we pick up a sin saw and slice away at the offending parts. But I don't think that's the best way to interpret Jesus' words in this passage. If we took them literally, think about what that would mean. Only Jesus would be moving around with all his parts intact. Poor old Simon Peter would have had his tongue extracted a number of times for all the foolish things he said. James and John would have suffered lobotomies, brain removals, to get rid of their selfish, egotistical ways. And for all his sins before his conversion, the Apostle Paul would have been a massacred mess. No, a literal interpretation of Jesus' words won't do. Instead, we have to see this passage as a very dramatic picture language. And that's what Jesus' parables were about many times. Little pictures, vivid little dramas about how God's kingdom operates, how God's kingdom works. And Jewish teachers, rabbis in general, tended to be very visual in their stories, really painting a striking scene with words. Now, our Savior is much more than a teacher, but he uses brilliant, lively images to drive home a point. And here's the point. Sin is a very damaging, destructive, debilitating aspect of people's lives. It's a very damaging force let loose on this world, in fact. So the Savior takes a strong stand against it because of all the harm it does to God's people, God's creation. Like that little white lie that grows and grows and grows until it becomes somewhat of an unstoppable monster. It would be better, says the Master, for the tongue to be cut out of that one's mouth than for him or her to be telling lies. Because falsehoods hurt so many people. Even things that don't seem like sin can get out of hand. The Post-Dispatch carried the story of a woman who started buying state lottery tickets in hopes of getting the big payout. And instead of spending $2 or $3 a week, she began with $30. She bought a new laptop computer to help her pick the numbers in hopes of beating the odds. And before long, though, she was spending hundreds, then thousands of dollars with her, quote, innocent, unquote, gambling hobby. Her husband and her father both fell into legal trouble for helping her pass bad checks. For forging money orders, she's now in prison. Her husband has declared bankruptcy. The bank is repossessing their house, and her two children can't figure out what happened. They just know that they are very, very sad and angry. It would have been better, figuratively, symbolically speaking, if her hand had been cut off since that sin affected and fractured so many precious lives. Recreational drug use has snowballed into a disaster for far too many. What started out as a high turned into a horror. Cigarettes, overeating, excessive drinking kill people before their time. Accepting too much change from the cashier tears even a little bit at the moral fiber of who we are. Christ Jesus says, cut that out. You are hurting yourselves and others. Stop it, he says. I take sin seriously because of the harm it does to God's precious, precious people. Well, that's the negative side of this picture, but we have to consider the positive also this morning. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, R-E-I-G-N, as in a royal reign of the Lord, is new and unending life, life that Christ wants to give us, and it continues eternally, but so very much begins here and now. And that life is so valuable, we need to be willing to make sacrifices to receive it fully, to take it in its abundance and radiance. So the Savior told other parables about the supreme worth of the kingdom. We think about that one called the pearl of great price and the treasure hidden in a field. I also like this verse from Romans 14, Romans the 14th chapter. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our Lord says this kingdom life is so valuable, so priceless, that giving up a hand or a foot or an eye is no big thing. It's not too much of a price to pay in order to enjoy God's reign. It is worth some sacrifice. A young family found that their 3.5-year-old son needed a tissue transplant to survive a serious illness. Frantic searches for a donor seemed useless until they tested the little boy's 5-year-old sister. The doctor and her parents did their very best to explain the operation, along with the results that they were hoping for, that her little brother would get well. With tears in her eyes, she said yes, she would do that for her brother. So from her own flesh, she would give what he needed. The procedure went very well, taking some organ tissue from the girl and implanting that in her brother. Parents and medical staff were pleased with the way things turned out. But after a while, they noticed this little girl was trembling and shaking uncontrollably. And they asked her, what was wrong? Is she all right? And she responded, will I die pretty soon now? You see, her young mind had not comprehended, didn't understand when they explained the operation, and she was willing to give her life, give everything she had for her little brother. What a heart of devoted self-sacrifice for the sake of someone she loved. And that kind of caring, of course, echoes the love of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything for you and me, gave his all so that we could live ever new, even now, in the kingdom of heaven, and that for all eternity. Whenever we are tempted to think that we are not worth very much, that we don't count, we remember that Jesus stretched out his arms upon a bitter cross, saying to each one of us, "This is how much I love you." Sweat and blood blinded his eyes on the cross, so he gave up his eyes. His mouth was so dry and parched that he could hardly speak, couldn't say very much, so he gave up his tongue. His feet and hands were nailed to the tree with iron spikes, so he sacrificed the use of his precious hands and feet. God's Son gave everything he had to give so that we could have this abundant life in the kingdom of God, this hour and forever, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'll cut that out. I'll go to the end. Dear ones, in light of what he gave, our sacrifices don't seem as heavy. God has a more abundant life for us to receive, and it's worth so much more than any excess baggage we think we have to carry. I ask myself, as I ask you, what do we need to let go of in order to fully embrace God's amazing grace? In Jesus' name, amen. We do extend the invitation to set your faith upon Christ, believing that he is the Son of the living God, believing as well that he was sent to be Savior and Lord of your life as well as mine, and that he did accomplish, and that he is our Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that simple confession of faith, we would help you today. If you would come forward, we'll assist you in doing just that. Let's now stand, join our voices together.
299, he lives.